Good morning, sisters and brothers. I want to welcome you on this second Sunday of Advent, December 6th, in the year 2020, to our very unique and powerful worship podcast. This unique experience of hearing and listening comes to you because of the work of many wonderful volunteers, and I want to stop to give them a shout out today. But I welcome you to this season of worship and welcome you now as we step together into a time of anticipation, of contemplating, as we consider the promise that comes with Advent. And today we'll be focusing on believing the promise. So glad to have you with us. God bless you and keep you. And may we now prepare for the Advent words and candles by our sister Charlotte Peterson.
Good morning. This is the second Sunday in Advent. Today, you see two purples glowing. Last Sunday, we began with a candle of hope. Today, we have the candle of love. One verse that speaks to this is from John 3:16. God so loved the world. During Advent, we pray that we may remember again God's gift to the world and know that God's love for all people is the reason for this gift. When we look at the second candle, we remember God's love and that God's love is not just for us in the Petaluma community, Washington, D.C., or Europe, but is also for those everywhere in creation. Join me in the call to worship. We await nothing more, nothing less than the renewal of all creation. We await the promised Savior who will come through wildfires and pandemic, through chaos and storm. We await because we believe in promises of our God. Come, let us give ourselves in worship as we await the Prince of Peace.
Thank you. Call to confession. Together, we walk a path that is often difficult. Sometimes we stumble. Sometimes we even fall. And other times, we run with reckless abandon and push others off the path. Come, let us be together as strengthen one another in our journey. Come, let us confess our missteps, our stumblings, and our misdeeds.
Prayer of Confession. Holy God, we have before us the path that you have given. More than that, Lord, we can see this path clearly because of the light you have shined upon it. And yet, we stray. Forgive us. And yet, we lose ourselves in anger. Forgive us. And yet, we wound and injure others. Forgive us. Have mercy on us, we pray, and forgive us our brokenness and our pridefulness. We ask this in the blessed name of the one who is to come, Jesus, our Christ.
Assurance of pardon. Forgiveness breaks the cycle of anger and wounding and bids us come together by the power of God's grace. In the name of the Christ child, we are all forgiven. Amen.
I will be reading from Psalm 85, verses 8 through 13. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace to his people, to his faithful, to those who turn to him in their hearts. Surely his salvation is at hand for those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. Faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky. The Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and make a path for his steps. This ends the reading.
The second reading for today is from Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 5. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This ends the second reading.
Good morning, sisters and brothers. I greet you today in the name of Jesus Christ. My name is Skylar Rhodes, and I'm the privileged to be the pastor here at Petaluma United Methodist Church. And I greet you today as we dive together into some pretty key concepts that are at the core of who we are as a people of faith. And the first we explored last week, but just in case somebody might not have been here, let me summarize it briefly. The first is getting into a deep understanding of the notion and meaning of promise. And for us, promise is defined in two particular ways. One is the promise that you make, a vow, something you commit to doing. And the other is the idea of promise as a sense of potential. In this, we speak of the promise that someone shows, and perhaps in their career or ministry. And these two senses of promise are interwoven for us as we deal with God's promise of salvation and our promise or potential as we seek to fulfill this promise as God's children. For today, though, We're going to be focusing on what it means to believe in this promise. That is, believing in God's promise of salvation and believing in our promise or potential as instruments of God's love. So I want to ask you this morning, have you ever made a promise? Well, I think most of us have. Have you ever broken a promise? Well, I won't try to speak for you here. I'll let you be the judge of that, but I will be transparent and confess that I've broken a promise or two in my time. I'm not particularly proud of it, but it is true. You know, in one case, for example, it was a promise to stay in touch with someone who was struggling. And well, you know, I got busy and I could make a dozen excuses, but they don't matter because I simply didn't do it. I didn't keep my promise. And I want to tell you, in those kind of circumstances, when promises are broken, so is trust. And friends, once broken, trust is not easily rebuilt. I think the same is true for our potential, for our promise, in terms of what we're capable of doing as individuals and as community. Now, if we fall short of that potential, it's also kind of like breaking a promise. If someone falls short of their capacity, their capability, their potential, what's our usual reaction? I mean, if it's someone close to us, someone we love, someone that we depend on, we may be disappointed. We may be frustrated or upset, or we may sit there and shake our heads bemoaning the waste of such potential, of such promise. In either circumstance, it's difficult to trust after these kind of experiences, don't you think? It's difficult to believe someone's promises once broken or their potential once it is tossed away. And in our two scripture passages for today, we see the evidence, the shadows of promise like this. We hear in the psalm, for example, that God will speak peace to the people. It says that love and faithfulness will meet, that peace and justice will, and I love the language here, kiss each other. If these aren't promises, I don't know what is. And then in Isaiah, we hear that the glory of the Lord will be revealed and that all people shall see it together. These, friends, are firm, clear statements of certainty, promises, 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 if you will. Promises that involve the mouth of the Lord having spoken. And it involves and calls also to our potential, to our ability, to our promise of being able to prepare a way for the Lord, to make straight the highway, to lift up the valley, to make the uneven ground level. This part, seems to me, is kind of up to us. The promise of God's arrival, and the promise of our ability to prepare the way. It's a sacred partnership, and it begs the question, do we believe in this promise? Friends, this is a serious question for us, and it doesn't refer to the kind of believing that's rooted in fantasy. This sense of belief does not have room for notions like not believing and wearing masks. You can believe it or not, it doesn't matter. It still saves lives when you wear masks. It's not like believing in ghosts or other silliness. This sense of belief is deeply rooted in the biblical sense that it connotes trust. Throughout the New Testament, the Greek word that is most often translated into the English word believe is pistis. And a more accurate translation of pistis is not belief, but trust. And I find that really interesting because there's a host of things that I can supposedly believe in that I may not actually trust. Is that right? In fact, often when people say they don't believe in something, they're really saying they don't agree with it. You've heard this, of course. You know, someone said to me the other day, they didn't believe in freedom of speech. Well, believe it or not, it's guaranteed in our Constitution. There is freedom of speech, and you don't have to believe in it. it's there. Not believing in it won't make it go away. Or someone says, I don't believe in public education. Well, believe in it or not, but public schools exist and they are the most effective means at educating the population. And mass education is the best guarantor of our democracy. So believing something, well, not particularly impactful. But trusting? Wow, that's different. When you trust in someone or something, it actually has an impact on your behavior. I remember when I was way younger, we used to have to sink fence posts. And often this was done with one guy, me, holding the fence post while the other guy, my buddy Jim, would hit the fence post with this huge sledgehammer. And I trusted that he would not slip and crush my arm with that 9-pound hammer. And that trust enabled us to work together. I didn't merely agree or believe, I trusted. So when we take up the notion of believing in the promise, we're really asking whether we trust this promise. Do we trust the promise of God's forgiveness? Do we trust the promise of new life? Do we trust the promise of unconditional love and compassion? Do we trust in the promise of an inexorable march towards God's justice? Friends, if we do more than merely believe or agree with these gospel notions, if we actually trust in these promises, then our behavior as individuals, as church, will shift and change. If we trust in God's promises and our shared potential to partner with God in fulfilling these promises, there literally is no limit to what we can do. Do we trust in God's promise in our shared ministry? Do we trust in our capacity, our potential, our capability to do what it takes to revive and renew our church? I think we do. And if we do, then, like me with my friend in the fence post, we'll hold on to that fence post while God pounds it in. We'll expand our generous hearts so that the church has the resource to provide leadership, the resources to take care of the poor, the resources to heal the wounded, the capacity to build heaven right here in the midst of hell. You see, our call, God's call, is to grab hold of that fence post, trusting fully in this promise, to trust that God's forgiveness is real and that the power to forgive sins has been given to us, to trust that God is among us and in us, empowering us to take mighty risks for sacred causes, to trust that this child we await in this season is indeed the Messiah, the promised one, the Lord of Lords, Emmanuel, God with us, among us, partnering with us to fulfill the promise. So friends, let's take stock of all this. Let's survey the landscape of our lives, the terrain of our ministry, and let us covenant today to trust, to believe in the promise that is before us. And let's reach out to one another so that we might strengthen this trust as community, as followers of Jesus, as we seek the God who keeps promises and the community that partners with God to fulfill the promise of the kingdom of God here on earth. Friends, God bless you and keep you as we reach into this promise together. Amen. Now may you go, believing in the promise that salvation comes, believing in the promise that you were created with great capacity and great possibility. May you go believing in the promise that the kingdom of God will be built here on earth as we risk the wonder and joy of loving Jesus and one another. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's join our hearts together as we become the community of Christ, praying together. Holy and amazing God, We are your people, and we make this claim in the midst of a world that has so many things that would claim us, and yet we rise up to not claim any other power than you in our lives, than your love, your hope, your healing, and your salvation. God, we come this day as your people, as we struggle to be faithful, as we struggle in the midst of chaotic, crazy times, in the midst of pandemic and national chaos, God, we come to you, for we feel sometimes weary and we seek your succor and we seek your hope. God, we come because also we are tired. There are those among us who are weary from struggling in relationships, those among us who have been ill and are tired from such illness and disease. There are those among us, God, who are challenged spiritually, and those among us, God, who seek jobs and employment and housing. Those among us, God, who need to feel the warmth of your embrace. And so, God, we rise up as your people from the various places we stand and sit, from the various contexts of our lives, and we ask for an outpouring of your Spirit upon us. God, where we are wounded, heal us. Where we are tired, give us rest. Where the world has just been too much for us, God, give us a moment of Sabbath so that we can find your strength again. In it all, God, we seek to build your church. We seek to build relationships amongst ourselves that include trust and forgiveness and kindness. Walk with us, God. Help us to feel the joy of your accompaniment, the wonder of your presence. We ask this, we pray this in the blessed name of the child who is to come, Jesus our Christ. Amen.
Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Tamaki mami melo malangi, me varoro taikine damuni, me adamaina nomuni matintu, me dagana lo mamuni burbura, me bakasa daga melo malangi, ni sile me viki mami ni singongo na kaka na rutiki mami, ni bukoda manda ni nime mi dagadala, me bakaki mami sambukoda, were sa dagadala viki mami, ni kakuni kutiki mami gine vere, Kamuni vambuli ke mami mana va. Nisano muni na matini tu. Kena kaukaua. Kena langilangi. Asangani mundu. Amen.
Sisters and brothers, we come now to the time when we share Holy Communion together. This is an unusual context as we are so used to doing this in person, and it is nonetheless real and powerful as we seek to do this through the miracles of technology. And as always, whether we are in person, on podcast, or video, however we come together, we are the United Methodist Church, God, and in this church, all people are welcome to Holy Communion. It doesn't matter if you're a believer or a doubter, or if you don't believe at all. It doesn't matter because this table welcomes all people, and we understand this act of communion to have transformative power. And so we invite you now into prayer as we prepare for Holy Communion. I hope that you have before you the bread and the cup that you wish to consume as we share this meal. Friends, before us is the meal. As a people of faith, we approach this table with humility and joy. Ours is a community who claims Jesus Christ as the source of power in our lives, and it is in his name that we strike down the barriers between us and invite all who come in love to approach the table as sisters and brothers. Let us pray. Holy, holy, holy God, who transforms power and might, blessed are you and blessed are those who come in your name. You are the creative one who weaves the universe and all that is in it. Beneath our feet, you have provided the rich and wonderful tapestry of creation and charged us with its nurture and care. You brought all creatures into being and linked us with them as part of your wonderful plan for life ongoing. And throughout the hours and days of our being, we experience you in every moment, every thought, every feeling that watches over us in our human ways of knowing. Your power comes to us as the sun rises to warm us and light our way. Your laughter sings round us in busy streets and late night sidewalks. Your unending love reaches out again and again in the screech of newborn children and in the wealth of trust and love we have in one another. And in all this, your love is so great, O God, that you gave still more. In the fullness of your time, you sent your only child, Jesus, to walk among us as the embodiment of your way of being, the voice of your yearning for us. In our midst, Jesus came sauntering as one who knew joy. He laughed, ate, and drank, seeking the company of outcasts and untouchables. He proclaimed the reality of your power, and in your name he healed the sick, fed the hungry, and confronted human structures which oppress and diminish your great gift of life. Jesus showed us with his life that the struggle for justice, peace, and liberation is a holy task, a joyous task, a way of being. And it was for this that we resented and feared him. Our fear hardened our hearts, and in our fear we stood by while he was handed over to be judged, tortured, and executed for the high crimes of love, healing, and liberation. And on the night of his arrest, Jesus sat down once again to laugh and eat and drink. And before the meal, he took a loaf of bread from the table and he blessed it. Jesus broke the bread and passed it around, saying, "Take this and eat it. This is my body, which will be broken for you. When you eat it, remember me." And then he took the cup and gave thanks to you, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood poured out for all people, so that sins may be forgiven. As often as you do this in remembrance of me." And here we are today, loving God, living echoes of those who sat around that long ago table with your child Jesus. We remember our brother Jesus, and our grief overpowers us. Deep in our hearts, we know that each day Jesus is betrayed and executed, for it is true that the pain and suffering of people everywhere is the pain and suffering of Jesus, our Christ. And truly, we do remember. As we share this meal, our memory finds voice, and we declare that the love you brought to us in Jesus Christ is a love which heals us all. Black or white, gay or straight, slave or free, the love of Jesus Christ binds us together as one with you, O God. It is our prayer that you will send your blessing on us and on this meal, as we celebrate the mystery of our faith and the great joy we have in your presence among us. This is our prayer of thanksgiving, our cry of grief, our tears of joy. Amen. And now together, sisters and brothers, let us take the bread that is the body of Christ, and eat this. And now, having eaten, let us take the cup, which is the blood of Christ, and let us drink that, knowing that the blood has been shed for us for the forgiveness of sins, that the body has been broken, that we might be redeemed. Amen. Friends, this is the moment in our time of worship when we gather together to receive our gifts and tithes for the ministry of God's church. We are moving through the Advent season and still excited to be receiving your pledges for the year in ministry. We appreciate your generosity and know that you know how much it means to us and to the work of the people in this church and around the world supported by the United Methodist Church. As you make a pledge, as you give this day, know that you can drop your check off at the church office, that you can mail it to the church office, that you can go to our website and donate, and that in the bulletin here in this podcast will be instructions for how to donate through texting. However you give, your generosity is important. The work that you do in returning God's blessings to the church makes a difference. So now, as we give, let us be in silence. Holy God, we dedicate these gifts to the work of your church. We ask that you create in us a generous spirit that this work might expand, that more people might find healing, that more communities might find joy. We dedicate these gifts to you and to the community that we serve in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear these words of benediction. Now may you go, believing in the promise that salvation comes, believing in the promise that you were created with great capacity and great possibility. May you go believing in the promise that the kingdom of God will be built here on earth as we risk the wonder and joy of loving Jesus and one another. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.